And welcome back. It is the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor, your host at CIUT 89.5 FM. And our guest now is Tony Leo. Tony, I'll let you describe your post. It's Unifor, and your position is what?
I'm the chairperson of the Political Action Committee of Local 222 of Unifor, which represents workers in the GM plant and 25 other bargaining units in the Oshawa area.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've posted something which I know is catching the eye of people, and because it's a sore point with people who appreciate having a Canadian labor movement, the Canadian Labor Congress, Ontario Federation of Labor, et cetera, and the old traditions of the UAW, CAW. Your union has been kind of going sideways, and over the years you've written some critical comments, but recently something rather peculiar happened. A proposal was made to name a street for Jerry Dias, who is the president of Unifor. Where does this come from, and what did you post? What do you make of this?
The first thing to point out is that a letter was sent to the City Council of Oshawa asking for Jerry Dias's name to be considered to name a street, which is a little bizarre. And, you know, I think it's out of the ordinary for somebody who's still alive to even be considered for that kind of recognition, because you never know what their long-term reputation is going to be.
Yeah, as Jean-Paul Sartre said, you never judge anybody until they're deceased.
That's right. And that's a requirement in a lot of places, but it's not a requirement in Oshawa. But then when we heard about this, actually workers in Oshawa, members of Unifor, when we first heard about it, actually couldn't believe it. We thought it was some kind of sick joke or somebody pulling our legs, but we looked into it. And sure enough, there was a letter sent to the city council asking for this. And the letter came from an employee of Jerry Dias's, a national rep for Unifor, who's not part of the Oshawa community. He's not connected to Oshawa.
Well, Dias must have been surprised and shocked to see that.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. The gall, the ego. I mean, it's hard to imagine the ego that is required to send one of your employees out to see if you can get a street named after yourself. It's a colossal act of arrogance, but it's made much, much worse by the fact that the vast majority of workers, Unifor members in Oshawa, see Jerry Dias as somebody who has undermined and sabotaged their collective agreements and their working conditions, their pensions and their wages. They don't want to see him honored. They'd like to see him strung up, a lot of them. And when I and others in the local
metaphorically, whatever that term is, yes, go on.
Metaphorically, of course, in effigy.
In effigy, that's the word I'm looking for. Yes.
But I and some others from the local started letting people know that this was serious, is going to be discussed before the City Council of Oshawa today, Monday. And so once we started circulating the news, the reaction was almost unanimous. Dozens and dozens of people were posting their horror and contempt at the idea.
Isn't this based on the claim that he rescued GM? Isn't that the idea is he was the hero that caused the, after you lost all your workers, that they reopened the plant with new workers. And that was all his wonderful work. Is that right?
That's right. The Unifor and Jerry have an almost unlimited capacity for self-promotion. When General Motors announced that they wanted to open up Oshawa again to assemble pickup trucks, and negotiated an agreement to do that. The headline that Unifor put on it was, "We saved Oshawa GM." And that, I mean, it's not even sane, frankly, to make that kind of claim. GM is doing what GM decides is to their benefit. And what's left out of the public discourse a lot is that when they ended vehicle production, and that was just in December of 2019, so less than 2 years ago, the majority of assembly workers were making $36 an hour, a fairly decent wage. And most of them had defined benefit pensions. But with the closure, almost all of those workers retired or took buyouts and left. And now General Motors is hiring a whole new workforce, 1,500 new people making $23.67 an hour and with no defined benefit pension and only to continue working.
Well, there's a victory.
Oh, there's a victory for somebody. Somebody's profiting from that.
It should be a street named after the president of GM in Detroit.
Yeah. The shareholders are probably cheering the corporate board for what they've the fast one they've been able to pull here, but workers in Oshawa are not cheering. I'll tell you that, and a lot of people have suffered gravely as a result of this whole shenanigans, and. Front and foremost in terms of responsibility for it is Jerry Dias. So he's the last person that should have a street named after him. Some people have suggested, you know, maybe the dump. One worker said, well, you know, if there's a street, maybe you could name the gutter after Jerry. Somebody else said, well, there's actually a street named Athol in Oshawa. Somebody said, well, there's already a street named for Jerry. It's Athol Street.
Oh, boy. Auto workers don't mince their words.
You know, people are creative. Workers are very creative.
Speaking to Tony Leo, yeah. There's two things. Well, there's so many other aspects. The Unifor under Jerry's leadership has become very close to the Liberal Party. When Chrystia Freeland went to Washington, she took one of Jerry's, he might have even taken Jerry with her. And of course, we all remember the photograph of the fixed eye contact with the prime minister, which Jerry was so proud of. But also the Canadian Labor Congress, Jerry left, he took Unifor out of the Canadian Labor Congress. In Oshawa, you have the Oshawa District Labor Council. One would think someone might ask them, because Unifor is not a member of that council anymore, or are they?
They're not. Unifor is not a member of the Ontario Federation of Labour or any of the provincial federations of labour or any of the labour councils across
the country. And isn't that because they were raiding people?
In order that they could raid other unions, they left the body of Canadian labour. They sabotaged it. They, you know, they split the labor movement in this country, divided it. And as you point out, a lot of that is in the interest of the Liberal Party and the corporate executives that the Liberal Party represents and acts for. And Jerry is just as chummy with the executives of General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler as he is with Kathleen Wynne and Chrystia Freeland and Justin Trudeau.
There is a syndrome, and I know you're a labor historian, that union leaders do often fall prey to a kind of a dizziness when they find themselves in the presence of very rich and powerful people, and they begin to like to be seen in public with them or sitting at a ball game next to them. And somehow or another, they find it hard to resist that the embrace of the rich and the powerful. I don't know if this would be the case with Jerry. But there's another matter I want to make sure we touch on. This has given rise to many people saying, well, you know, there should be a street named for some people, union people. So what are some of the names it could be if they want to name a street after an outstanding union leader?
That's a great point. And I and others started pointing out the workers that could be honored if really what is unionism about? It should be about acting in the interest of workers, lifting up workers, as Deb said. You know, I want to rise with my class, not above my class. So Debs wasn't looking for a street named after himself. He was looking at raising the standard of living of workers. And there are many people in Oshawa who were part of the rank and file, part of the mass of workers who should be recognized. Bev McCloskey started the first women's committee in Local 222 and fought for equality for women workers at a time when General Motors had separate seniority lists for men and women. And the union was not able or did not put an end to that in bargaining. It wasn't ended until Bev McCloskey and her committee lobbied the Ontario government to change the Human Rights Code to make it illegal, which they were successful in 1970, not that long ago. And the member of parliament that put forward the private members bill to accomplish that was a former president of Local 222, Cliff Pilkey, who was elected as a member of the provincial parliament. Let's honor Cliff Pilkey. Let's honor Mabel Main, who was in 1948 elected as the president of the Oshawa Labor Council, the first woman elected as a president of a labor council in Canada, or the first member of the bargaining committee at General Motors, a woman named Gertrude Gillard, who was on the bargaining committee in 1937, when the strike established the union in Oshawa. There's people like Jim Freeman, who many people know, who was a labor council activist for many, many years, never was out to benefit himself, never took a full-time position, worked tirelessly. And a lot of people remember Jim. He died quite young, unfortunately. Name a street after him. Let's look at the people who are actually from the community, lived in the community, and fought for workers in the community.
Yeah. Tony Leah, thanks very much. I think the healthy idea, since the goal is to have a socialist country with where workers are most influential, every last one of those people you name should have a street after them. This is Taylor Report, CIUT. We've got a few moments. We'll be back and finish up the show.